You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
You are now listening to the Ride or Cry podcast.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am wonderful.
I'm sorry for the back and forth. I'm in Vegas and we're in quarantine right now. I'm here with my fiance for her the show that she's on, and I got a last minute brand deal and they needed it shot today, so I got the product late and we just rushed to get it done. So that's why we had to move stuff around.
Oh my gosh, no worries at all. I totally get it. That sounds fun though. How's Vegas? I mean, it's obviously not the same as it would be.
Honestly, it's very weird, but we have quite a large suite, so like it's kind of fun to just to be forced to kind of do less, you know. Like I still have my computer, I can still work from here, but like it's kind of nice to have no pressure of there's no plans at all. Like we can't do anything but just hang out and food's delivered to our door. It's pretty interesting.
That's amazing. So you guys have to quarantine for a couple of weeks before she shoots?
Yes, exactly. So what they do is the entire cast and crew of any show that's out right now, in order to legally be able to shoot, they have to all quarantine in the same area, same resort, same room, and then they can start shooting. So we're doing that process right now.
Damn, that's crazy. Do you know Tyson Ritter at all?
Tyson Ritter, All-American Rejects?
Yeah. Do you know him like personally at all?
I don't know him personally, no.
So he's doing the same thing. His wife is shooting, but they're in New Zealand. And so it's so fascinating to watch like the quarantine process there versus here, because it's just, they have their shit down. You know what I mean? Like they have it figured out. Whereas I feel like anything here has just been kind of a nightmare. I mean, I'm sure you guys are good though, but it's so interesting. Yeah,
I will say, like, for this production, they do have it figured out. Like, we are living in our own community where everyone's in their rooms. We have catering downstairs, food's being delivered. And then after 2 weeks of being quarantined in your room, everyone's allowed to go and just wander the hotel. They definitely got it figured out. But, like, well, there's only going to be a few shows coming out in the next, you know, in the next bit of time, because not everyone's able to do this.
Totally. Which is so interesting. I mean, I'm down because I can't keep up with like the million shows that are going on. So
yeah, there's enough content already.
Yeah. Like, let me have like three shows and I'm all set.
that's all you need. I hear you.
Congrats on the things you have going on. I saw your cool sunglasses situation and that whole like,
oh, the whole
technology where it holds it in place. It's so cool.
Yeah, I'm so excited. That I had that idea for literally 10 years now. But like 10 years ago, I was broken, had zero connections. I had no clue how to make that happen. And then after I moved to Hollywood and kind of made some connections, and one of my buddies is from an inventor family. Like his dad co-founded Crocs. And so they know.
No big deal.
No big deal. Like his dad's a big deal. And I was like, dude, I was like, any advice? How can we do this? I'll bring you on board, like 50-50 partners. And so me and my buddy Baron just worked on it. And we worked on it for 6 years. Like the patent world's so crazy, but we finally got it done. So yeah, I'm looking at it right over there. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool to see my idea, you know, come to life and on people's faces. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's really cool because I feel like, I mean, especially in LA, but all over the world, everyone has so many ideas where they're like, I'm going to do this thing and it's going to be great. And then, you know, you never get around to it. So I think it's really fucking cool.
Thanks. Yeah. The best advice I got was from this guy, Scotty Siemens, who was the third partner from Crocs. We went and met with him when we first had the idea, because Baron's dad was like the marketing guy, but Scotty was like the product guy and the patent guy. And he said, I'm just telling you this now, don't get discouraged. He said, I have dozens of failed ideas that I've spent thousands of dollars in. He goes, it takes dozens of failures until you find the one success. So, you know, fingers crossed it will be successful. People are liking it. We're doing well. But this is like the first stage of seeing if it's going to keep going.
Okay, gotcha. And yeah, just for people watching and listening who don't know what the hell we're talking about, it's basically, I mean, do you want to explain it? I feel like you'd be better at it.
Yeah, so essentially it's these sunglasses that have magnets on the inside of the arms of the frames, that when you like close, when you hang the glasses on your shirt, the arms, the magnets connect and your glasses just don't fall off. So it pretty much solves that problem of glasses falling off of your shirt from you bending over to pick up your dog or your kid or playing basketball or whatever. Oh yeah. Thanks. My fiance heard me. She handed them to me.
Hell yeah.
But anyway, I know that since we're recording this, yeah, that's it. Arms in the magnets and
it's so smart.
It just flips like that. And honestly, like it, I've had prototypes for so many years, but it feels good to have like nice ones. Like these are the shit. These feel good.
Amazing. I love it. And then you also recently had Emo's Not Dead Coffee come out.
Yeah. I did. I released that to kind of be a shock to like, to my emo fans, because I wanted to come out with a different type of merch, but not like everyone was suggesting like, hey, well, you should make some Emo's Not Dead face masks and whatever. And like, by the way, great idea. I bet those sell well, but I was like, I want to do something that no one's really done. So I did like an Instagram story and I was like, hey guys, I'm coming out with new merch. And you know, it's been a while, but I think this is something that you guys haven't seen before. Take a guess what it is. No one guessed it right. So I released the coffee and people are loving it. Like I wanted to make sure it was something that was actually good. Like I'm a huge coffee fan. I love drinking coffee, but it has to be good coffee. So yeah, it's pretty exciting to release an Emo's Not Dead coffee with like the cartoon version of me on it. It's pretty fun.
Yeah. It's also smart now to do it because everyone's at home making their own coffee. I know I've definitely gotten so into it. Like I keep buying new things and, you know, making like trying to perfect the latte I make in the morning and all that kind of stuff. I'm also so obsessed with coffee that I'm the kind of person who like thinks about it at night. Like I can't wait to wake up and have coffee.
I say that to my fiance all the time. I'll literally lay in bed and I'll say, I'm excited to go to sleep so I get to wake up and have coffee.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. I have that thought every night.
I'm going to make a note here to send you some.
Oh my God. Thank you so much. I'm
then
stoked to try.
Coffee. I got you.
Yum.
Yeah, I'll get you out when we hang up and I'll send it you. I'll send
hell
it
you. Yeah. So I was listening to one of the episodes of you guys' podcast and you were talking about how, you know, like the Emo's Not Dead videos you make are funny and they're meant to entertain, but you want your merch and like this coffee to kind of stand out as being more serious and well thought out. So I'm just wondering how you kind of walk that line between, you know, communicating that to your fans, but also making sure it's kind of expressed in the right way.
Yeah, sure. Well, so starting with merch is the first thing that I released. I don't want to put out anything that I wouldn't wear, or if it leans towards merch that a girl would wear that like my fiance wouldn't wear. Like, so if I run everything by Arielle and she has a huge say in what I design. So like when I was like, hey, I was like, I think I want to do like a pink line. She's like, oh my God, do it like this, do white letters. So like she actually helped me design like the girls' merch, but like I test everything. Like I'll get probably 3 or 4 runs of t-shirts and I don't like the way the print feels or the way the shirt feels. So I just want to make sure that if I'm going to put my name on something that it means something to me, you know, like I don't want to like, by no means do I want to just sell merch to make money. I want to sell merch because I think it's dope and I also get to make some money from it. And the same exact thing with the coffee. I tried 10 different coffees until I found the one that I actually was like, I would drink this every day. I'm down to sell this to my audience. So, you know, I just kind of make sure that everything is high quality and something that I would want to taste and something that I would want to wear. And so, you know, I had one fan recently send a picture of their Emo's Not Dead mug and it didn't look right. And so I called the manufacturer immediately. I was like, this print does not look right. And I DM'd that fan and I was like, I'm replacing your mug. And they're like, yep, whoa, you DM'd me? Like, thank you. I didn't think anything was wrong with it. So like, I noticed everything. And I just want to make sure everyone has, if they're going to spend money on it, I appreciate them and I want them to have quality product.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, we're the same way. Also, yeah, I'm wearing Emo Night merch. Like, we also do the same thing. We started Emo Night because there wasn't anything like that in LA. You know, there wasn't a place you could go and listen to emo and pop punk. It's all like EDM or top 40, which I also love. And then with our merch too, it's the same thing. We just want to make stuff that we would want to wear. So like, yeah. I totally get that.
Dude, you guys have really good merch. Like, are you a part of the designing process at all?
Mm-hmm.
It's really good. Like I love the cemetery branding. It's so dope. I love it.
I'll send you our website after this and just let me know what you want, and then we'll send you stuff.
I'm down.
We have really, really cool stuff coming out soon too. So I kind of want to know about where the emo character came from. Like, where did the idea come from?
Yeah. So I was in, like an emo pop punk band, back in the Warped Tour days. Right. So, I started a band I was very influenced by emo music from probably, you know, maybe 2000, 2001. I was in high school. I was like obsessed with Taking Back Sunday. I was obsessed with Under Oath. I learned about the U's a couple of years later, maybe like 2 years, one or 2 years out of high school. But like, I grew up with it and I absolutely loved it. And I had friends in local emo bands, and like, I absolutely loved it. And so I started my band in 2007? Yeah, 2007. I started a band with two of my guys who were from Portland, Oregon, who were also from that scene. They had their own like emo rock band. And we toured for 4 years. We played Warped Tour 4 different times. We played like the Slam Dunk Music Festival in the UK.
Oh my God, fun.
So fun. And we were in that scene and I loved it. And so the long story short there is we had some like label issues, and you know, rest in peace, but the owner of our label ended up passing away and we couldn't end up being released to another label. It's like a long, complicated story. So like, because of some weird label stuff, we had to break up the band. But I still loved the scene. I still loved the music. And so fast forward, I become a social media personality, started on Vine, and from Vine now on Instagram. And I just had an idea. I was like, I want to get an emo wig, and I want to just do like a one-off emo video with Ariel. So I did it, and I post at the time on Facebook. I had 50,000 followers, right? Like, my Instagram was big. Maybe I had like 600,000 followers or so. So like, I had a pretty big online presence there, but my Facebook wasn't that big. I posted it on Instagram and I posted it on Facebook. And I just closed my laptop after posting it on Facebook. And the next day I check, and it was like blowing up on Facebook. And I, like, to the point where I thought something was wrong. I was like, on Facebook, I usually get like 5 to 10,000 views, and it has like 140,000 views. And there's all these comments. It's like, what's going on here? So I actually reached out to my contact at Facebook and I was like, yo, is this normal? Like, what's going on? He goes, congrats, bro. You just got yourself your first Facebook viral video. And I was like, do you know why? He's like, I can't explain that. Like, people just liked it. So I was like, okay, I got to test this again. So then I did a second video, probably like 3 weeks later, same character, another emo video, and posted it on Facebook, and it went viral. Third viral, fourth viral. And then my audience grew on Facebook from 50,000 to like, I might be like 800,000 now.
Damn.
From like a year and a half. And it's all new people who love the emo character. So like, that's like, so my Facebook is dedicated to like my emo fans who absolutely love it. And so, yeah, now I just know when I post a video on there, it gets millions of views and people absolutely love it. And long story short, it was a fluke. I had zero clue that was going to be that popular. I just liked it myself. I was like, I want to do a video how I used to be back in the day. And it kind of blew up. So now I'm, you know, I do my merch and the coffee, and I just kind of want to keep it alive.
Yeah, that's so amazing, especially because Facebook is the last platform that I would feel like would be popping off with any sort of content.
Dang, I know. To be honest, I don't know how. Like, obviously, like, I feel like the age demo is okay, because a lot of people that are, let's put it this way, most of my friends on like the East Coast and West Coast, New York and Portland and LA, we're all a different, we like Instagram. Like, we're big on Instagram and like Vine back then. But like, I think like middle America is very Facebook. I just feel like I think it's a different demo. And, but still, like, emo was big everywhere. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. What was your first emo show you ever went to?
My first one was Taking Back Sunday. And that's what got me into it. My buddy Judah, who, my best friend back then, he was into the music first, and he took me to Taking Back Sunday. And I remember going and sitting back and watching people like mosh in the pit. Like that was my first experience seeing that. I was like, oh man, I was like, these guys are having fun. This is crazy. And I remember watching Adam like swinging his mic around and like wrapping it around his neck.
Iconic. It's his iconic movie.
So iconic. And I was like, these guys put on such a good show and their music's so catchy. I bought some merch. I bought an album and I fell in love. It was a Tell All Your Friends album. I fell in love with that album. And then that led me to other bands. So then I discovered Under Oath shortly after. And I loved that band, still do. Taking Back Sunday was my first one. I think my second one was actually Fall Out Boy, though, because my brother really loved Fall Out Boy, and he took me to that show.
Yeah, those are good ones. Yeah, I feel like in high school I was such a good kid. I just got straight A's and never ditched school, except for when Taking Back Sunday was doing their West Coast leg, and so I would skip school like 3 days in a row to go see them in San Diego and Anaheim and just make sure I caught all those shows because, yeah, their shows were so fucking good. And I would be in the pit all the time and crowd surfing and everything. It's like,
oh, same. Any chance I could, I'd get on stage and I'd stage dive. It was the best.
Yeah, literally the best.
I need to go to a concert. God, I haven't been to a concert in so long. I need to go. The closest thing to a concert that I've been to is actually Emo Night.
Oh, so, really?
Yeah. So like, yeah, that's kind of been, I feel like that kind of fills the void for everybody, you know, like,
yeah,
because there aren't a lot of those concerts anymore. Obviously right now, because of COVID, there's none of that. But like, if you want to get that concert vibe, people go to Emo Night and they can stage dive there if they want to.
Yeah. 100%. What was your experience like at Emo Night performing?
Oh man, that was so fun. That honestly, like, I hadn't performed in so long. It was probably like our last performance. We were banned 2011. 2011 was our last performance. So it was years, like almost 10 years. Right. And oh God, it was so fun. I mean, the audience there are just so into what's going on. Like I even felt like, obviously some of them probably like recognized me from the emo guy and the Emo's Not Dead videos. But I think in general, their energy was just off the wall because they just love the music in general.
Totally. They're so excited about like all of the things, but I know people in our community really love you and your videos. So I think they were super stoked that you were there.
Yeah, that was so fun. I remember telling who was your DJ? Who's the house DJ?
Fish.
I remember telling Fish. I was like, he's like, all right, so how do you want me to introduce you, man? And I was like, don't introduce me at all. Just play My Chemical Romance, Black Parade, and I'm just gonna walk out. He's like, no introduction at all. Like he was confused by it. He's like, no introduction? I was like, no, just play it and let me walk out. He's like, all right. And then he goes out there and he goes, so this guy didn't want an introduction. I was like, you're not supposed to say that. You're just supposed to play the song.
Fish takes his job very seriously.
I noticed
like
that.
He is like, he shows up, he's like, I will not let you guys down. So yeah. I'm sure that you telling him that you didn't want an intro just really like messed him up, you know.
He's probably like, wait, I have to give some sort of intro, it's my job. Yeah, yeah. I introduce everybody.
If I don't say something, like the show cannot go on.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, that was super fun. I am so down to come back and DJ another set. I know my DJing turned into a full blown performance, but like, why not?
Oh my God, why not? Yeah.
There was a microphone there.
Yeah. I mean, we've been doing this for 6 years. So I think anything that is different than just a DJ set, we're like, please, for the love of God, like
yeah,
anything totally new, you know? I wanted to ask you about just how it's been like creating content in quarantine. Cause I feel like you and Ariel are really good at making stuff at home in general, but yeah, obviously you have these limitations now, but also I literally watched this video. I go back once a week at least to watch it. The one where you guys recreated the candy challenge.
Oh, that was Ariel. Yeah. Where
like
she goes,
her face. Okay. And I don't know how the fuck you guys do this and not die laughing, because her face, like her facial expressions in that video are like iconic. I don't even know.
Dude, her facial expressions in general, I tell her every day, I was like, how do you do that? She could do the biggest eyes and her face looks like a character, like a cartoon character.
Yeah.
But yeah, well, I mean, we laugh all the time. Like we literally just had to shoot something before I got on this call and I was filming her. Like we'll just film each other back and forth for the most part. I was filming her and she couldn't even get her lines out because we just write ridiculous shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, some of the stuff is like, what is that? Like, what are you even saying? So it's super fun. As far as like creating content in this environment of like COVID-19 and stuff, it hasn't really affected us because we can go to a park with a couple friends and shoot. We can shoot each other indoors anyway. So a good example, we're like quarantined in a hotel room and I literally got product shipped from a brand and we shot a brand deal here. So we're very lucky that we can kind of just shoot whenever and wherever.
But there hasn't been a moment in the last few months where you were like, oh fuck, like I wish we could go shoot in this place or something.
I mean, yeah, I just got to be a little bit more creative and shift ideas. Like I had, you know, I kind of store scripts sometimes. So I have multiple scripts written where I needed to go to this dance studio for one. Like it's actually an emo video and I'm doing an epic dance one. Did you see the one with Derek Huff where we danced to The Kill?
Yeah.
So I was like, that one just crushed and people love that. I was like, I want to do another like epic dance one. So I started to plan that and then it got canceled because the studio was like, we can't be open for this. Sorry. And then I had another one, with, I can't say who it is because we're still working it out, but, a huge, emo legend was like, dude, I'm so down to be in one of your videos. I was like, hell yeah, this is going to be the best. And then because of COVID, he can't do it. So like, it has affected me a little bit. Yes. So we've just kind of had to shift creativity.
Okay. Gotcha. I mean, that makes sense for sure.
Yeah.
How long does it take for you to think up one of these like emo episodes, I guess, if you want to call it? And so from beginning to shooting to putting it out.
So, you know, it kind of depends. Like I'm trying to like do my best to top the last one. The first four were pretty simple because I wasn't trying to do a big production of it, but they still did incredibly well. And so this last one I posted, I think last week was I'm Not Okay. And it was me in this, we rented like a Mini Cooper and I literally had to pull a rig to pull the car and film from the back of the rig. So like it was a little bit more high, you know, high production. So that one was, I put more thought into it, but for the most part, like if I, you know, it's not all that hard to put on my skinny jeans and eyeliner and sing Taking Back Sunday. So I'll literally just be like, hey, I have another idea. I'm going to be singing to you. Maybe she says something in a sentence, like a lyric that I remember and it triggers me. So it doesn't take too long to be honest. Maybe from the time I think of it. And if I want to shoot it within maybe 1 week, I'd say I think of it, we plan the day to shoot, we shoot it, I edit it and then post it all within a week.
Hell yeah. So for someone who's sitting at home and they've always wanted to create content, but they've been too busy with, you know, life or their other job or whatever, and they just want to get going, what would your advice be for them just to like get started?
Well, I will say that, you know, with COVID-19, we're obviously forced to be stuck at home, but like there's no better time to think. And I've realized like I've been able to sit down and catch up with my thoughts. And like maybe there's a bunch of old tasks on that you need to get done. Like now's the perfect time to just use this time to like think and create and have no distractions. No one's asking you to hang out because you're not, you can't have plans. You're not traveling. A lot of people don't have to go to their 9-to-5 job. So you're essentially stuck at home. But like, to be honest, my friend asked me the same thing. He's like, dude, he goes, I'm so bored. I don't know what to do. I was like, bro, I was like, you want to be a musician. There's no better time to write music. So like watch all your old favorite music videos that can inspire you. And then start writing your songs. So I kind of feel that people stuck at home should just really should utilize this time to dream big and start coming up with a game plan. Because when this is back to normal, we're back to normal. They might have to go back to their job and they're not going to have the time to write anymore, whether it's a script or a song or whatever it is, you know?
Totally. I feel like some people in terms of, you know, making content are probably just intimidated by not having the right equipment or, you know, not having enough knowledge of how to edit or, you know, whatever it may be. What would you say to them just to like get started?
Well, when I first started, my iPhone was my best friend. You can, with a newer iPhone, you can shoot perfectly good quality videos to kind of start posting. And to be honest, I've even still done that. So even in the last year, and I've been doing this now for like 7 years, some of my videos, I'll be out with Ariel getting coffee and I don't have my camera gear. So we just shoot on our iPhones. So, I mean, listen, most people have an iPhone or a camera phone, shoot on that. You can edit in iMovie. I taught myself how to edit from just YouTube tutorials. So like, you know, you can kind of, I mean, start on iMovie. Every MacBook has it for free, and shoot on your iPhone and start doing test runs. And it's all practice. As you know, it's just practice makes perfect. So everyone has the tools in their hands already. You just gotta start somewhere.
Totally. Yeah, that totally makes sense. And are you listening to any newer emo bands? Like, have you kept up, or do you just kind of revisit what you grew up listening to?
I'm huge with revisiting, and I literally told myself, I was like, during quarantine, especially in Vegas, I was like, I'm going to listen to my newer emo bands, new stuff. So I haven't yet. But I am excited to.
Sweet.
And I'm also supposed to listen to the new Taylor Swift album. I haven't done that yet.
Oh, it's so good. It's also perfect for if you're like in a hotel just quarantining. Like, it's,
I love it.
Yeah, it's so different from all her other stuff. I think she literally was like, I'm gonna make this album and it's gonna be full quarantine vibe, and totally. It's gonna be so people can enjoy it in quarantine.
That makes sense. I mean, she's super smart. So she's probably, honestly, the businesswoman in her was probably like, I'm legit gonna make this because of quarantine, and people will just play it, and I'll get all my plays on Spotify. Like, she's a very smart business person.
Could not be smarter. Also, she has a song called Cardigan, and one of the pieces of merch that she has is, guess what? A cardigan.
There it is.
It's like, just,
yeah.
It's almost annoying. But I'll send you our, we have a Spotify playlist that we update every week, and it has a bunch of like newer stuff.
Send it to me.
Yeah. I'm like so on it, because I honestly feel like working in the music industry, like, we have another company that's a creative agency. So we work with like musicians and artists and everything. And then we have Emo Night. So I think even before quarantine, we were just so burnt out on music. I was like, I can't listen to another song. I've only been listening to podcasts, and it's been it's been really nice because you get to listen to albums in full. Like, All Time Low put out an album in the beginning of quarantine. It's like, I could sit with it and listen from the first song to the last song and really digest it in the way that you're meant to hear it, because
totally.
We're so busy all the time outside of this. We just kind of listen to one or two songs on the go and never revisit it. And I don't know.
You know what's so funny? What I've noticed, like, in quarantine, and especially since I live with my fiance, like, it's not easy to just pop in earbuds and listen to music when you're in the same room with someone. It just, you know, so like, I always, always listen to my music in the car, on driving to meetings, driving to set, to work, whatever. It's always in the car. And the first few, like the first 3 months of quarantine, I just didn't listen to music. And I was like, I'm going crazy. Why? I was like, oh shit, I haven't heard a song. Aside from like poking around YouTube or whatever, I was like, I haven't listened to music in months. So I feel like that also has a part to do with why I haven't listened to the new albums that came out. Cause like, I saw, I don't know if this was a couple months ago, but Under Oath came out with some new stuff. I don't know if it was a song or a whole album, but I'm obviously dying to hear that. And a lot of, you know, a lot of these guys are putting out new music, and I don't want to put on my headphones and ignore Ariel. So I just haven't, but
yeah.
I need to literally just like, go in the bedroom, put on headphones, and just get in the zone.
Do you guys have like a Sonos or something you could just like listen, or no?
Yes, we do have a Sonos. Yeah.
Or would she be like, turn this off?
No, she likes it.
Okay. So she just, she pretends to hate emo in the videos.
She pretends to hate emo in the video. She likes it.
Okay. That's good news for sure. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me. I know you had a busy day, so.
Of course. Well, thanks for having me. This was fun. And I'll email me your address. I'm going to send you some coffee.
Okay, sick. And then I'll send you our link and let me know what merch you want.
Perfect.
Amazing. All right. Okay, have a good rest of your time.
All right. Take care.
Okay, bye. Bye.
Bonjour. This is Fabulously Delicious, the French food podcast. I'm Andrew Pryor. And every week, I bring you the wonderful and fabulous people involved in French food, whether they're here in France like me or from around the world. Each week, we dive into a specific topic, be it a French dish, an ingredient, or a French cuisine cooking technique. My guests are all about French food. So come join me on Fabulously Delicious, the French food podcast. Bon app.